Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9,
Dane, just hold on 2 seconds, mate.
No problem.
All three engines up and running.
Starting early.
2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Well, hello and good morning to the seventh show of Intimacy Whisperer, Coach on Fire Radio Network. I'm Pauline Ryland, Intimacy Whisperer and your host. And in this show, we talk about anything and everything to do with intimacy, relationships, sex and everything in between. And as we're live, things always happen in their own way, in their own time, which I find hilarious. And so for some reason, the show started early today, and I'm not sure if that's because Dane plugged in before me. I have no idea. I don't understand, but that's okay. We're all happening. So today I am excited. I'm always excited with who I get to interview, but today I'm finally happy. I'm always happy. I'm just happy to be finally interviewing a guy. I've been trying to get men on this program and it's been impossible. So I'm excited to be talking to a guy this morning. Dane Thomas is an author and a creator and personal development innovator, which sounds very interesting, and he's created a process for setting human beings free from inherited baggage. So I'm curious to find out what all that is about. So just to let our listeners know, if you're in the US and you're listening in, you can call in and ask live questions, and you just need to call in on area code 646-716-7979. And if you're in Australia, you can jump online onto my business page, Intimacy Whisperer, and I'll attempt to keep my eye on three different things at once, and ask questions there via message or on my business page or my personal page, and we will pick those questions up or the producer will prompt me. So let's say hi to Dane. Hello, Dane.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good. Awesome to finally connect with you live and speak to you live. So this is going to be very interesting. And, you know, a lot of people out there hear this term masculine and feminine, and they really have got no real idea what it actually means. So maybe we can start off having a bit of a chat about the masculine and the feminine and what that means on an individual basis and how we function in the world of relating. So, over to you on that one, Dane.
Well, it's a big one, you know, and what I try to do, I work with these ideas a lot, and what I try to do is hold them quite loosely, because there's sort of some universal principles around masculine and feminine, but then there's a lot of individual difference. So I can be, you know, you can be speaking to one person and go, well, this is masculine. And they're like, I don't think that's masculine. And then you have this kind of disconnect that can happen. So what I like to do is preface it by that these can be useful sort of principles or ideas, but they're in no way prescriptive. So we're not trying to say that people should or shouldn't be this way or that way, but it can be very useful to have some sort of principles to work with. And I think the key thing that I've found useful is dealing with masculine and feminine as energies rather than necessarily as gender roles or that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think, like everything, it's great to have these things as guidelines, but there has to be flexibility and fluidity, because, you know, we have masculine and feminine within us, and some are more balanced in that than others. And it's about really just being that interplay and that whole the dance between the two. And so how would you, you know, describe the word energy? Because I know when I work with some people and they're very from a different sort of a background, it's very hard for them to understand what you mean by energy when they don't get what that word is. So what would be another way that you would explain that?
Well, I guess we could go into talking about a person's essence, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, you know, energy has the kind of complication of, you know, electricity or whatever. But
yeah,
for me, when I've used that in terms of masculine and feminine, I mean a sort of essence or even a way of being. So, you know, we wanted to give an example of the masculine energy or essence will be the more directive or penetrative capacity. So it's, you know, it's a directive energy of I'm going this way, I'm doing this, I'm getting this thing done, I'm present. And we can basically, we can think of the way that the masculine biology is shaped, you know, so we have a penetrative capacity physically. And that's where I think we've drawn this metaphor from. So
yeah,
this ability to penetrate, to break through, to and to focus, we can attribute as a masculine quality, which doesn't mean it's even necessarily more available to men or women, but for the ease of working with these qualities separately, we call that masculine. And on the other hand, we can look at the feminine kind of quote unquote qualities as the more receptive, the more flowing, the softer qualities. And
yeah,
if we're using them in that way, with, you know, as a rule of thumb, then I think what we're just doing is breaking things down into a basic duality that we can work with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if somebody feels that they're leaning more heavily one way or the other, whether their gender is feminine, female or male, what tools can you use to bring that balance more within yourself? You know, like I know for me, there was probably many, many years ago that I was really not in touch with my feminine at all. And that's obviously really developed over the years with the work that I've done and my own personal growth and working with the masculine and feminine. But I'm just curious as to, you know, what tools you use to help bring more of that alignment of that essence within individual people that are looking for that.
Sure. Let's say I do a lot of work currently with business people. I have quite a few female business clients that are very successful, and there's this kind of place we get to where they may be doing a couple million bucks a year, and everything is, they're kicking ass in all these ways, and it's this ability to get stuff done and kind of push through is they've mastered that, right? And maybe they're more experiencing burnout or adrenal fatigue or these kind of things that imply to me that the feminine side is not really being very well looked after. So if we want
just
to access...
Interrupt you for one second. Sorry. I'm not sure, we're getting a countdown. I don't know if you can hear that for 60 seconds, and it might have been because we started a bit early, but all the music started. So I'm not sure if it's going to go into break into song in the middle of us talking. So we'll just keep rolling. It's live,
we'll see what happens.
I'm getting a response from the producer.
No problem. So yeah, usually if we're wanting to help someone connect with their feminine, we're talking about things that increase feeling. So anything that softens the body is good. You know, I mean, it almost sounds like a cliche, but if I'm dealing with someone who's kind of high-powered executive sort of an energy, I'm going to be saying like, do you have baths? And they're like, oh, no, I haven't got time for that. So, okay, so we need you to be having like baths and candles, you know? And then, but also things like dance, massage, erotic massage, anything that is to do with pleasure. And feeling is going to increase someone's connection to their feminine aspect. When we've got someone on the other hand who just seems to sort of have no direction in life, no ability to achieve or break through a limitation or sort of set a goal and stick to it, then we're talking masculine. There's a lot of different ways to work on that, but some of the most obvious ones that I use personally or that I give to clients will be taking up a martial art. If it's business, I get them making their own sales calls and committing to a practice of that, which is a very, you know, set this many calls, make those calls. Zen styles of meditation, anything where we're sitting in stillness and presence is an awesome masculine energy cultivator. So those are some of the basic sorts of things I might play with if I was wanting to get someone to get in touch with one side or the other, or, and ultimately both, is kind of how I like to work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's awesome. So how does that for you relate with the sort of work that you're doing, you know, just in general with the work that you're doing? I guess you've got quite a wide sort of range of people that you're working with.
Yeah, I have a few different projects. So one of them is called The Integrated Man, which is specifically a men's project. And the early Integrated Man was very much about connecting to purpose, presence, and working with various archetypes, so various different expressions of masculinity, like the warrior, the lover, the king, etc. And that I did that for a few years and realized, oh, the so-called integrated man is not very integrated. He only has kind of masculine side stuff. So we began bringing more stuff in to balance that out. So one of the projects I have is really working with men to become more complete. So it's about looking at whatever aspects are already developed and then looking at which areas maybe aren't as developed and learning how to cultivate those areas. So that's a direct use of it. But I use this stuff in my own life, in my sexuality and in my business constantly. So I'm looking at the world through this lens quite often. And for me, I started working on connecting with my feminine more in the last probably 2 years. And that involved dealing with getting a lot more in touch with deeply feeling emotion and learning how to move the body more freely and open up physical expression. And what I noticed is that some things that I thought were quite unrelated started to improve. So, for example, my business team and culture started to improve, and I realized it was like, oh, that's the feminine. You know, my ability to maintain and nurture relationships is improving because I'm deepening my own self-connection and my own connection to my feelings and my nurturing energy and so on.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense because that's totally what the feminine's about, and it's really about building on all those layers. And I certainly have found that in my own business as well, because, you know, when I first started working as an intimacy coach, you know, well, 8 years ago, I would have a plan of what was required to be happening with that client. And then the client would come in and then I would do the X, Y, and Z and the session would end. And I would just feel like, oh, well, that was crap. I think that was a crappy session, even though it actually wasn't. They got results. But I was feeling like, oh, that's a bit shit. And I didn't get it. And then I realized after a while, as I started tapping more and more into my feminine, that my intuition kicked in and I started listening to what they were saying and going, oh, well, they're talking about this right now. And even though I had planned the session to something to actually happen, when I started listening to what they were actually saying and just following that and going down that path, there was much more fluidity and flow, and the sessions became more potent and powerful. And so now when I go into a session, I know roughly what they want to achieve. Well, I know what they want to achieve, but I don't go in with a set agenda of this is what's going to happen in the session. And I see what unravels. And then if nothing specifically is unraveling, then I might go, well, do you think we should start looking at your issue around trust and start diving into that? However, being really open. And I'm finding now that the sessions become much more potent because there's that fluidity that I'm hearing and listening and working with.
Yeah, beautiful. And it's, you know, it's this feminine ability to dance in the mystery that is opening up that magic.
Yeah. Sometimes I have a challenge with that, but that's okay.
And, you know, another way, a really simple way that I've found, you know, I've been moving away from getting too caught up in the masculine feminine language. Like the more people I've sort of, the more mainstream it's started to get and the wider variety of people I've started to work with. So often now we'll just talk in terms of thinking and feeling as well. So it's like, especially if I'm dealing with someone who's never been exposed to, you know, I've come from kind of a lot of experience with sort of tantra and that sort of stuff. And as I'm beginning to work with people who are not familiar with any of those ideas, I'll often just start with a place of thinking and feeling. And so if I'm working with a man who's been very achievement oriented, you know, business owner, martial artist, getting stuff done kind of guy, and he's not too deep in feeling, we'll just start with, okay, how do we get you to feel? You know, what's going on in the body right now? What are the emotions right now? And really dropping into that energy without me needing to say, okay, we're going to get you into your feminine. We're talking more about getting you into feeling. And the interesting thing is, regardless of being in a male or a female body, pretty much most of our planet, you know, and the society we're in, we've been much more oriented to thinking than feeling as a culture in the current era. So most of us can do with some assistance in being able to drop into our deep feeling capacity and our emotional capacity, because we've been trained to kind of think it through, be logical, get the result, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think, you know, men have been in particular, I mean, women have got their thing going, but the men in particular have been conditioned to not express emotion, suck it up, don't
Absolutely.
Cry, don't
yeah.
feel,
yeah.
be tough,
yeah.
you know, show this
yeah.
toughness. And so a lot of it is just really shoved down. And
yeah.
there's a lot of, well, and there's also a lot of disconnection on both sides. But I find that really interesting that, you know, that's been a cultural way for centuries. And so it's about turning that around and going, you know what, it's actually okay to feel, and it's okay to have emotions and to express them.
Absolutely.
Because when you do that, you actually can become more connected to your whole being. And when you're connected to your whole being, then you become more present with yourself, and then you can become more present with a lover. So I find that that's quite interesting, working with men. Women, it's obviously a lot different because we've always been known as the emotional ones, you know. And that could go also to the extreme with, oh, it's the hormones and it's this. And it's actually, you know, that's also taking it to an extreme, because it's not necessarily that. It's just that we've been given the permission, I suppose, to have the emotions and to be able to express them more readily than the male gender. So it is really about bringing that balance in across the board with men and women.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So how does the having these masculine, feminine traits within us, or bringing that balance more and more into our essence and our presence, how does that help us when we're moving into a relationship?
Great question. So, you know, the way I'm looking at it is not necessarily that we want to, I mean, balance is kind of an outcome that we can move towards, but really what we want is access to both sides and not necessarily be in them all, both at the same time, all the time. But when we come into relationship with another, our ability to be fluid and access what we need to access in any given moment is really important. So what typically happens if we have, let's say we have a man who's developed in his masculine but cannot access his feminine or his feelings, and we've got a woman who's developed in her feminine but doesn't have much masculine energy, then we've got a situation where initially these two people come together and it feels great. Of course, they're attracted because there's a natural polarity there. So there's a pull together. So we get together, but then we get a situation where very quickly we're codependent, because if I'm the man, now I need you to provide my feminine. You know, you're the one bringing the pleasure, the play, the social, the nurturing, the fluidity into it. And you need me to provide, you know, the safety, the direction, the economic well-being, if we're looking at that sort of stuff. And so there's this thing where now we become codependent. So, and that's been the model that's been kind of taught, is, you know, if men are manly and women are womanly, meaning men are in their masculine and women are in their feminine, all is well. But what it creates, you know, then this expression people use where they say my other half, you know, it creates this situation where we've got sort of two half people who are completely codependent and needing each other to complete them. Whereas if we have a situation where we have a man who has both his feminine and masculine developed, and a woman who has her masculine and feminine developed, and they meet, then there can be this dance where, you know, the man, for example, is very is nourished and is loving the exchange and can take great pleasure in connecting with this other being who provides this feminine energy but also has her own direction, but he isn't depending on it. He's not, you know, I kind of make this joke that a lot of guys are kind of walking around with our umbilical cord in hand, you know, and we're just waiting for someone to plug it into. And that's a result of not having a developed feminine. So it's like, you know, I work hard, I kick my goals, I get stuff done, and I just need a woman to bring in that kind of softness and that nurturance and that kind of loving, relating energy. If that's the case, I'm going to be addicted to her, you know, and then this kind of resentment comes in because whenever we've got that strong neediness, we kind of start to build a resentment for the person on the level because we need them so much. So if we have both sides, then we now have two complete beings who can meet each other and they can flow more. So let's say there is this situation where the woman does need to take the lead. It's not like some terrible uprooting thing where the guy's like, oh, shit, she's taking the lead. Am I obsolete now? Oh, my God. And she's not going, oh, did I just emasculate him? Am I allowed to lead? It's like, oh, of course you can, because you can feel in this moment he's able to be in his receptive or his passive or his feminine aspect and he's totally fine with that. And then 10 minutes later, he can move back into leading or being in his masculine and she can be in the receptive feminine and they can play. So it's like two dance partners rather than two kind of conjoined twins, I suppose.
And I think what that ultimately leads to is a much healthier way of relating.
Absolutely.
And where you're really sitting in your truth at all times and sitting in that place of integrity, because you're not going into the fixed archetypal sort of roles of what you should be. And like you say, you know, in those sort of codependent relationships, what attracts you to that person eventually can be the undoing of the relationship because you can switch into resentment. And this is when in relationships it's so easy for people that are not aware, that don't have that awareness, that start to go into that place of expectation and demand. And when they go into expectation and demand, then they lose sight of the gratitude and joy that the relationship is bringing. And so that imbalance starts, and so then that the resentment kicks in. So it's interesting how what in that what I would call a more unhealthy relationship, which is probably the majority of our population experiences that type of relationship, unfortunately. It's a lot more that way than the way that we're talking about. That's the sort of couples that I tend to work with when I do couples work, is that they have these assumptions and expectations and they forget why they've connected and fallen for each other in the first place. And then you've got all this stuff that's come in from that you've got to start unpacking and undoing and bringing them back to the basics again and teaching them new ways of relating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can make it very, very challenging. Okay, so how does that sort of archetypical, let's talk about the word archetypical for a moment, because I get it, but people out there listening into the interview later or listening in live might not really get what that word means. Can you maybe just break that word down a little bit and explain what the archetypical sort of roles mean?
Yeah, well, archetypes, to my understanding, means original types. So it's like they're kind of like blueprints. Yeah. And, you know, the word comes to us from Carl Jung. He's the first person, to my knowledge, to use that word, or I'm pretty sure he coined that word. And we can look at an archetype as, like a primal form or an original type. So like the mother is an archetype, the father is an archetype. I work with a lot of archetypes out of myths. So the king, the warrior, the magician, the lover, and these things are, they're kind of held in the collective psyche. So, you know, if you talk to a little boy and you say warrior, he knows what it is. You don't need to explain very much. You don't need to give a definition. Or if you say, I don't know, a dragon or the mother, even a very young child can grasp these ideas, because they're kind of like some of the original blueprints. So when we're dealing with men and women, the mother and father archetype are really big, because that's the original form on which most of us have based our understanding of masculine and feminine energy. So it's the cliche of, you know, we learn about the feminine from our mother and we learn about the masculine from our father. So those people become the archetypal models. So a lot of work that I would do with people is mother and father archetype work, where we might go into connecting with, rather than, you know, your dad, John, who is your individual dad, we're connecting through to the archetype of father. So regardless of whether your father was absent or no doubt flawed in some way because he's just a human being, we can connect through to the energy of father itself, you know, and have some huge healing around that, because we can then start to access some of the qualities of the father that maybe we didn't necessarily receive. Likewise with the mother, it's a great process we can do. I occasionally hear the masculine and feminine referred to as archetypes as well. I don't think of them directly as archetypes, but we can look at them as archetypal energies or as archetypal qualities, I guess. But the benefit of using archetypes to me is it can give you access to something that you don't necessarily have access to in normal life. So if we've got a bunch of guys who are maybe a bit sheltered and not really connected to their sort of go-getter, we might do, I've done things like warrior weekends where we go into the warrior archetype and we're hunting or we're climbing off cliffs, or maybe we're making our own bows and arrows, or maybe we're doing some martial art practice or something. And through that process, we start to activate and connect to the archetype of the warrior. And it's magic, really. You know, it's something that just comes through. And it's, I mean, this is what kids are doing when we emulate superheroes or famous people, or you know, we have little girls and they're copying, I don't even know who they will be copying these days, but you know,
the
we might have
princesses in all the Disney movies,
the princess archetype, you know. You get a little bit older and we might be copying maybe the slut archetype in pop music and stuff, you know, and these representations are coming through, and we just know, you know, we just kind of connect with them via transmission. So that's, we can use those almost like medicine, you know. Like one of the ways I use them is to go like, oh, what do I not have? And in a lot of myth and in a lot of men's work, the wild man archetype is quite often referenced. So it's almost like a primitive, less civilized man who would be more connected to nature, more connected to his wildness, more connected to his sexuality. So we can unlock, you know, the wild man archetype by moving the body certain ways, by maybe going camping, by getting rid of a bunch of our, you know, leaving our phone behind and going bush or whatever. So I feel like archetypes, you can use them like medicine. And I created this integrated man program based around 7 archetypes. And last year I did an archetype challenge where I lived 7 archetypes in my program for a month each and kind of let them take over my life for a month. So
that would have been really interesting.
It was super fun. It was a little bit crazy, and it was powerful. You know, like the whole month would take on that flavor, and beyond my intention, it would just take over. And so I was in the beast or the wild man archetype, and you know, I was eating lots of meat and working out really hard and camping, and just I lost the ability to do a lot of stuff. You know, I could barely run my business. I was just in this kind of more animal energy and physical energy, and then the next one was the lover, and everything just shifted. So it was more like dance and sexuality and socializing and pleasure, and it was like a different person, you know. And then I went through each one, and they're a beautiful way to learn about which areas that I was already quite developed, and in which areas maybe there's some childhood wounds or some baggage or some issues, and be like, oh, I don't even know how to go into this, you know? So yeah. We're often looking at in a person which archetypes are overactive and which ones they barely have at all.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you did that. I've done similar things, not for a month at a time, but, you know, I've have been an apprentice in the Sweet Medicine Sundance past, no longer an apprentice. And one of their teachings is the spirituality of sexual teachings of the Kadoshka, which is based on what was rites of passage for young boys and girls back in the ancient Inca sort of Mayan times, and this is brought into practices now. And we would play with the different archetypes in a format of what was known as the lover's masks and the different masks. So we would play with wild man, wild woman. We would play with, you know, our king energy, our queen energy, you know, our different sort of, you know, our different sort of sexual sides, our sexy bedroom sides, our dominant, submissive sides. And we would play in these masks. And it was fabulous because we would actually dress up and have a dance first thing in the morning for about 20 minutes and really, with the music, really channel, and the dress up and the costume, really channel these archetypes through into us. And for some of us, different aspects were a real challenge to play. Like if you've never done bondage or BDSM or done the submissive stuff, that was really hard. Dressing, like, it was cool to dress up in the gear, but to actually channel that archetype was really challenging when it wasn't something that you were used to. And then we would have a lesson around that.
Yeah.
And it was a fabulous way to really peel off layers and explore. And it was just the most liberating and freeing thing I think probably I've ever experienced. And that was really my path and opening into the work that I'm doing now through doing all of that.
It is
quite incredible. And so how does that those archetypes really shape us and affect our actual relationships?
Oh, beautiful question. A huge question really, but if we look at how a child learns, we model what's in our environment. So if the father was not particularly connected to his, let's say, erotic nature or his playful nature or his softness or his kind of flow, when we do man, you know, we're going to blueprint him as man and father, we're going to do it probably the way he did it. Likewise, I'm just making this up, but let's say the mother is really over-nurturing and over-giving and maybe smothering or whatever, we're going to have a model in our head that says women and the mother is like that. So we learn from these archetypes by almost just kind of taking these blueprints on board. And I do a lot of work with conditioning and sort of deprogramming people and unlocking the patterns they've picked up. And it's just amazing how much we soak up in childhood pretty much indiscriminately. It's like we just got the record button on from 0 to about 7 or 8, where we just take on everything, right? And that basically includes parents, relatives, teachers, friends, a little bit of media, whatever we're soaking up, we just kind of drink it in. So role models in television shows that we like are teaching us, this is how you do that. This is, Al Bundy is a man. That's what a man's like, you know, like Married with Children, That's what men are like. They sit on the couch with their hands down their pants, you know, and this is what women are like. Yeah. They're kind of bimbos who want to take your money. And it's like, as a child, you're not really analyzing that. It's just forming the backdrop of how you think the world works.
Yeah, it's just absorbed by just without even having an awareness. It's just absorbed into that subconscious. And it's interesting that, you know, you say that because, you know, I'm NLP trained and, you know, we take on our beliefs from the ages of 0 to 7, from our parents on a subconscious level that we're not even aware of, and they're the beliefs and behaviors that run and guide our life, even though it might not be serving us to our higher purpose. And, you know, it's so interesting as you start to do your own work. I know with my mother, wonderful woman, very loving, but in a smothering kind of a way, you know.
Right.
you know, from her conditioning, the whole guilt whipping and the smothering and all that. And so when I had my child in the early years, that's how I mothered, because that's what I knew. That meant love, to smother, to cocoon, to be in full service. And so you do, you automatically copy it because you don't even know that there's another way. And
that's it.
It is really what and how that shapes us. So it's really a matter of I guess, as people grow and evolve, that they come into their own awareness that something's not quite right, that there's some stuff that needs to be looked at. And there's no moment when that happens. It's very much an individual person's journey. I mean, some people will just carry on like that forever, and that's who they are and who they be. But more and more people are starting to wake up. More and more people are starting to get this concept of consciousness and awareness. And so it's really about when they realize that, oh, you know, like I might get someone that comes to me and you know, issues around relationships with men, and they've always chosen the guy that's the bastard that treats them badly, that doesn't express love. They've got that pattern. So it's about breaking that pattern and suddenly realizing, hey, I'm 50 and I've still got this going on and this isn't very good. What can I do about it? So it's that thing that you're talking about, breaking those patterns and cycles and getting them to look at other aspects. And it's like no one gets it at the same times. And when, I guess my question is, when someone starts to have that awareness that, shit, you know, something's not really right, I keep doing this, I keep making this same mistake, or I keep attracting that same person, how do I stop that? What's a good way for them to start working on how they look at that and breaking those patterns?
So that's been kind of my... Yeah, that's sort of been my lifelong quest in a lot of ways, is how do we deprogram and break the patterns, you know? And over about, how long did it take me? Let's call it 15 years, I put together a system for doing that. So a system for clearing unconscious emotional patterns. So I have a program online called Clear Your Shit, which is as directly as I could name what it does that I could possibly think of.
I have listened to a little bit of that.
Right. It's a free video training, and you simply enroll for it and you get 7 videos that teach you a system of, it's a mixture of NLP, kinesiology, and a few other sort of Chinese medicine, a few other models that I boiled down and made very simple and allow us to ask questions and target parts of ourselves that are running automatic patterns. And that's, of course, I'm going to say this because I made it, but it's one of the most effective ways and most direct ways that I know of to deprogram some of those patterns. I also created a process called the Spiral, which is a more intensive deprogramming and baggage shedding process. And that works by dropping attachment to emotions like shame, guilt, fear, anger, etc. So those emotions, rather than sort of looping and looping over and over again, when they arise, they simply pass through the body and we're free from them. But I would strongly encourage you to investigate that. I have a book called Clear Your Shit, $4 on Amazon.
So just before, jump into that, if someone is listening and they'd like to get the program of the first one, the Clear the Shit, where do they go to get that?
Yeah, just go to clearyourshit.com
and fill in the
video program and the book sync with each other, so they kind of go together. So you can do one or both, but they work together. And that's the best intro that I have for my work. But it also explains a lot of other modalities that fit into that too. So a lot of people have found it a great starting point to understand, how do beliefs link to emotions? How does childhood conditioning shape how I am now, and how do I change it? Because that's been a big focus for me for the last sort of 10 to 15 years, is how do I unpack, I'm doing this thing that I didn't want to do this thing. Why am I doing it again? You know, like whether it's partner or an eating habit or a financial habit, why do we run patterns that we don't want to? And the answer is simply because that's the pattern that we've learned. So unless we can bring awareness into the origin of it or where it comes from, we will probably repeat it forever.
Yeah. And then, so if people want to do the spiral, how do they get that information?
The easiest way is just go to my website, which is danethomas.com, or I invite people to follow me on Facebook. I'm just Dane Thomas as well, and I speak about the different programs and the different stuff going on quite a lot through Facebook. Or you can just go straight to the website and or send an inquiry to contact@danethomas.com. Any of those ways will get you there.
Great, awesome. Okay, so just before we go into the next question or discussion, I just want to quickly plug our phone number again if anyone wants to ring in from overseas, and that area code is 646-716-7979. And if anybody in Australia wants to ask us some questions, please jump online on Facebook and jump onto the Intimacy Whisperer business page or my business page, or even Dane's for that matter, and ask a question. And we'd be more than happy to talk about it because we're having a great conversation here. So, this is awesome. Right, so what else do I want to know? How does all of this then tie into relationships and intimacy and, of course, sex, which is my main topics that I like to talk about? So, you know, we've talked a bit about the masculine and feminine and what that is and how that be. And we've talked a bit about the archetypes and how we take on so much stuff from a young age that we're not even aware of. And some of us are looking at that and shedding that. So, and we've sort of talked a little bit about that codependent aspect and the unhealthy aspects of relationships. So, if we want to create or we require, I don't like using the word want, if we require a relationship that is balanced and harmonious and, you know, has all the things that I think most relationships require, which is that deep connection and presence and intimacy, which builds on having great sexual interaction, how do we bring all of that in to creating that in a relationship with a significant other person,
and particularly you're talking sexually as well, I'm guessing from the I think some of the keys that I have, you know, I can't claim that I'm the master of this area. I work a lot with relationship and sexuality, and I've helped people a lot in that area, but it's a never ending journey like all the other areas that I like to work in. But some of the most basic principles that I've seen really bring more spark and magic and happiness and play into that area is really understanding polarity, I think, by which I mean the ability to create difference between each other and to feel that pull and that spark generated by that difference. So this one is where the masculine and feminine come, having some connection to both sides comes in very handy, because if again, I'm a man, I'm just only comfortable in my masculine. It's like, I'm only good when I'm on top or I'm dominant, you know, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she's only happy when she's submissive and she's on the bottom, then we're probably just going to do that over and over. And maybe that's fine. But most people that I have dealt with have kind of both sides, and there's this dance energy is required. And so the first thing to understand or have a sense of is this idea of polarity, that there's a play here, and the erotic charge between us is kind of dependent on difference. You know, if one is moving, the other is still. If one is hard, the other is soft. You know, the more we can hold those opposites, then the more there is a strong pull of sexual attraction and erotic tension, which is what makes it exciting. So I think the ability to animate that is an amazing skill that, you know, we can learn from sexuality workshops and tantric workshops and a lot of good books and all that sort of thing. But then with the baggage and the kind of childhood wound stuff, that comes into play a lot as well, because you know, if our hearts are guarded, or if our kind of inner child parts are really still wounded, or they're not, we don't know how to look after them and get them to feel safe, it's very hard to be truly open in an intimate context. So a lot of the work that came out of the Integrated Man for me, you know, we did all these kind of masculine warrior, blah, blah, blah archetypes. When I finished, I did an extra month around the inner child. And I realized, okay, this is such a huge piece for men and for women that unless we've kind of healed some of these inner child wounds and really build a sense, I guess, of emotional awareness and self-connection, there's not much point trying to be an amazing lover and be great in the bedroom if our own self-connection is wounded and is really challenging. So I think a lot of this stuff that I do around clearing emotional baggage is so helpful, because when people are less triggered by shame or guilt or fear or vulnerability, then they're able to be in an intimate space with their partner. So whether we're talking sexually, but even if we're talking about conversations or having, you know, having like a healthy argument where you maybe have a disagreement, but very quickly it resolves because you're not, it's not like your inner child is feeling mortally threatened. So you have to like defend or run away. You can sit there and listen to them and be like, oh, I get that his need isn't met right now. And I feel slightly triggered that he's naming it in this way, but actually I'm safe and I'm held, so I can actually listen. And I think doing self-emotional work is critical to having any sort of functional relationship, because relating with another person by definition will bring up all the areas that we're not self-loving and we're not caring of self and we're not respecting of self. So that's where I see the emotional work and the archetypal stuff really comes into its own, is it helps us mature our immature parts. And the more we're able to do that, the more we're able to be in relationship without basically dropping into our four-year-old and freaking out or lashing out or running away or all the kind of crazy things that we do when we're in relationships and then something unconscious comes up.
Yeah. And I think it's that whole aspect too of being able to look at the shadow in ourselves. So many people don't want to look at the shadow and explore that.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really key to a lot of this work is really, you know, it's like we have that masculine and feminine within us. We also have the light and the shadow, and
yeah,
having the awareness of that and really being able to drop into that shadow and really look at the ugly parts of ourselves, which
can be
really challenging to look at, you know. I remember going out with a guy years and years and years ago, and, you know, he was so scared to look at his shadow stuff, you know, because he didn't want to go there. He wanted to hang out with the blokes and be in the men's groups and all of that, but he was so scared of being judged for the stuff he had shame and guilt around, and that he just actually couldn't look at his own shadow because it just scared the crap out of him. And it's really that thing of being able to take that leap of faith and, you know, that whole, well, it used to be my saying years ago, feel the fear and do it anyway, and diving in and really looking at that. And it's such an important area to look at, shadow, and so many people really want to have all of that stuff that we've talked about. They want that conscious relationship. They want that balance of in their partner of the masculine and feminine. They want that presence. They want, but they don't want to look at their own shadow. And if you're not prepared to look at your shadow, then I don't feel that you're going to get any of that stuff in balance anyway.
I would agree. I think that's where all the gold is when we drop down into some of those hidden and scary parts and just beginning with just looking at them, just acknowledging, oh, I do this thing. Why do I do that thing? Or, oh, there's a part of me that's not that nice or not that considerate
I can be that bitch sometimes I could be a real asshole at times. And why does that come in? And that's not very nice when I'm all about peace, love and brown rice. So how can I look at that and work out why I'm that person? And what were the triggers that put me there? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just bringing, for me, it's been over the years learning to bring curiosity towards it rather than fear. So it's not like, I'm not like that, shut up, pretend it's not there. It's like, that's interesting. So it seems like I'm pushing away people that I'm attracted to. Let's have a look at that.
That's a bit stupid. Why am I doing that?
Yeah. It's very strange because I say that I want the opposite, but I'm doing this thing. Okay. And just, you know, I kind of feel like it's almost like my detective hat, or, you know, in Ista, they call it stalk. They talk about stalking the shadow a lot. And it's really you know, the shamanic idea of just creeping up on it like you're hunting an animal, and it's something you have to kind of sneak up on because it's very, very sneaky.
Yeah, that's right. And so what, I guess it's like, you know, when you start having that awareness of your shadow that perhaps that really needs to look at, what sort of, I guess, what's a good, where's a good place to start, I suppose? What do you reckon is a great place to start? I know what I've done, but I want to know what you've done or what you recommend.
One of the ideas that I reference a lot, which I think I coined, but it could be out there already. It's hard to know. But this idea of something we call mirror theory, and it's really using the world around you to reflect back to you what's going on inside. And that's in the book Clear Shit. I explain it really thoroughly how to use it. But that principle has helped me the most. So it's really using whatever I'm doing, you know, whether it's business, whether it's relationship, whether it's learning a new discipline, whether it's just me, the way I am when I'm sitting around the house, using what's going on in my life to reflect back to me what's going on inside. That's been the biggest key, I think, to having a clue what's in there. But, you know, there's a million good tools. One of my favorites is journaling. You know, I'll journal consistently all the time. And if there's an area that I'm struggling with or challenged by, I'll journal about that thing, and I'll set homework for people to journal from their vagina or their penis sometimes and talk to it, or journal from their heart, or journal from their inner child, or, you know, just to write maybe 20, 30 minutes a day or two pages or whatever is quicker from a place that basically what I'm looking for, you know, the unconscious mind, as you would know, is very sneaky and very it's hidden. That's why it's the unconscious mind. And anything that can help us channel that sort of unconscious side and sort of sidestep the conscious mind. So for me, journaling and dream diarying are very powerful because they kind of when I'm just sitting here writing and I'm not really thinking about it, I write some stuff and I go, oh my god, is that what I'm doing? That's interesting or concerning, whatever, you know. So that's one way. The other way I find is a beautiful way is to work through the body. So by really looking at which parts of the body are functional or not functional, which parts of the body move well or don't move well, I'm really starting to investigate those by maybe learning new kinds of movement or learning different ways to open up the body, and it will bring up emotions. You know, I've been getting a lot of tantric body work lately, so anal massage, genital massage, and that sort of stuff, because I've realized it's one of the few areas that hasn't really been de-armored to the full level that it could be. So starting to work with the body in different ways will also, in my opinion, really fast track us into what's going on underneath the surface. So, but anything that can help you get past the conscious mind and get into the deeper parts of you can be used as a tool for personal growth, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, the body, definitely, you know, we hold so much in our bodies and we hold so much shame and guilt. And I remember doing a training where we had to do 30 days of orgasmic yoga.
Yeah.
And nice. That really, you know, and we had a forum where we talked about the experiences, and it really was about teaching us, you know, as part of our sexological bodywork training, to connect to our bodies, to be connected and present, and to have the awareness of when we really disconnected, when we're in our heads, when we're, and it wasn't really about having an orgasmic erotic experience every time. It was just about connecting in to those parts of the bodies. And if you wanted to make it really erotic and pleasurable, then you could. However, it was more about that connection. And so sometimes it was just very soft and gentle, and other times it was like blow your socks off, like amazing things that would open and shift in the body and being. And it was quite an incredible journey for 30 days. And for some reason, when I did it, spirit told me to keep going, and I'm like, okay, why? I'm not sure. And I actually did 100 days of of it. Yeah. And it was really interesting, though, to do that for the 100 days and to be journaling it the whole time as well. And
beautiful. That's like the perfect practice, really.
Yeah, and it was just like, you know, you think you can go to certain levels and then suddenly you go beyond that and your body moves in different ways or opens in different ways, but it just unlocking and unlocking and unlocking. And that's why, you know, when I work with people around their sexuality and their orgasmic experience, I'm always saying, you know, you think you might be orgasmic, you think you can do this, but I can guarantee you, you can take that even further and beyond, because I know from that experience that I did of the 100 days that actually does open you in ways that you never ever dreamt could be possible, even when you already thought you were open. Any of those practices of where you're getting into yourself and tapping in, that you can start pulling layers off. And I love that aspect of journaling as well, because there was a book that I did, gosh, I think many, many years ago when I first started, probably when I first divorced my husband, you know, like 14 years ago. And it was called the something writer, the creative writer, the...
Not the artist's way.
That's it. Thank you. The artist's way. And so every day you would wake up every morning and you would just journal. Even if you had nothing to write, you could write, got nothing to write. And all of a sudden stuff would start coming out and you'd be writing pages of stuff that was really just bypassing the conscious mind, and you were just tapping into that subconscious. And stuff was pouring out, and it was an amazing process to start. I guess that's probably where I probably really started doing, I mean, I've been doing stuff prior to marriage, and, you know, once I got married, things stopped. And so that was just another way of sort of tapping back into that side of really opening up and seeing what unraveled. So I love that idea of journaling, and I often give that to my clients as well to do that. So that's really good that you've touched on that, and of course working with the body, and not just sexually, but also working with the body with movement and dance I like, you know, getting into Pilates and yoga. They're my things that when I finish, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm competing at the moment in body sculpting, so I'm very focused on that. At the same time, retaining my feminine side, because I know that that's more masculine. However, I know that in off season, I'm really going to be looking at dropping my training back a little bit, but shifting into that Pilates and yoga to open the body up more, because I know where I'm stuck and stiff, and I need to, I require to have that more balance in my body and being. So movement definitely really does come into it. So we've only got about 10 minutes left. So I just want to check in with you if there's, you know, anything in particular that we haven't touched on that you would like to. I know one question I did have is, you know, we've probably covered it a little bit, but if there's anything that we've missed in what tools or processes we can actually use to help develop the parts of us that we know are undeveloped. And I think that's something that you put in your little form that we completed together before the program. If there's anything that we might not have touched on that we could quickly touch on.
Yeah, let's have a look at that a little more. So there's two sides that I work with.
Yeah.
What I call constraint removal, which is kind of getting stuff out of the way, and then what I would refer to as skill development. And those two sides work really well together. You know, if we look at a lot of personal development, it's just skill development. It's just how to get better at whatever, public speaking or whatever, or sex or whatever we're doing. It's like, let's get good at it. It doesn't have a lot of constraint removal. So I'm always looking at both sides. So first thing I think you need is a model of looking at your life. I use the chakra model a lot, but you can also use, some people might be familiar with the wheel of life, you know, so just looking at like career, relationships, health, etc. Doesn't really matter, as long as you've got some way to divide up your life and sort of take it apart before you put it back together. And then you can just sort of assess, how happy am I in each area? You know, how developed do I feel sexually? How developed do I feel financially? How developed do I feel physically, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll often just go through and rate them from 0 to 10, how I feel. Or I can use, you can use a kinesiology muscle test to measure deep down how do you feel. But either way, you know, so maybe I'm a 6 out of 10 for finance, but I'm a 2 out of 10 for my sex life, whatever. From there, I would start asking myself, is what's in the way? Is there stuff that prevents me from growing in this area? Which might be, yeah, I've got a child, you know, I was abused when I was a kid, or I had that really painful relationship, or I was raised in a really strong Catholic family, so it's been very hard for me to explore that area because I feel really guilty when I touch myself or when I get sexy with someone or whatever. And I'd look at first the constraint removal side. So the, it's not something we address, not something all coaches address well. I'll use my language properly because some people really do get this stuff. But I want to look at first, are there constraints? You know, so it's like the way I describe it is there's no point learning to become a racing driver if you haven't taken the handbrake off the car. So it's like, you know, I'm so good at driving now. It's like, yeah, but you've got restrictions in the way. So I would start looking at those first. And if there are things there, then we can start using things like kinesiology or NLP or body work or breath work or things that help soften and let go. We can use those kind of tools first to open up the body or open up the psychology or drop the limiting beliefs. That's where my clearing stuff comes in particularly effectively. Then the other side I would start doing is kind of almost making a shopping list for the skills that I want. So rather than saying which things you should do, it's more about learning how do you work out what you should do. So if it was finance, I'd start going, well, who knows how to do this? What sort of skills do they have? Do I need to learn about real estate or saving money or just building a business? Or, you know, I would start asking myself, what's missing? What do I want to get good at? And if we're in the area of sexuality, we could just break it down and be like, I don't really know how to touch people. And so whether you go do some course or whether you just decide, okay, I'm going to practice becoming more touching with my friends. I'm going to, how I usually stand 2 meters away from people, I'm going to practice hugging people and making gentle contact with them or practice with my partner or whatever it is. So basically, I think people need to sort of self-diagnose a little bit, and then from there it can help them know which books to buy, which coaches to see, which workshops, because there's a million things out there, right?
Yeah.
And what I often find is, you know, someone wants to have better orgasms and they're going to do a life coaching course, you're going down the wrong track, you know, like it's you want to make more money. yeah, exactly, you know. You want to make more money, don't go and do Reiki training. That's not where the rich people are hanging out. You know, it's like horses for courses. So I think it's just getting clear on what are my blocks, what's in the way, and then where would I like to grow? What would I like to get better at? And again, that kind of journaling process comes in really handy because I'll often sit there going, cool, so I'm not really where I want to be in this area. What do I want? And I'll kind of... maybe I start off going, I want to get lots of sex. And then it's like, actually, I kind of want cuddles and softness and affection. It's like, so I've been thinking it's sex, but it's really affection. And it's sort of, boiling
that's
down.
Probably
to,
one of the, that's probably one of the classic ones that gets confused.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, going off on this rampant sexual spree of having lots of sexual partners and eventually going, oh, I'm not really very sexually satisfied, and it's actually not the sex that you're after. You're after that connection and the touch and the hugs and
absolutely.
The cuddles. And we misconstrue that for actual sex. So that's,
constantly.
That's
I need to make $1 million a year, but what I actually wanted was freedom. You know, I actually wanted the choice to be able to go and travel where I want. So, okay, you don't need $1 million for that. It's just asking those questions, eh? And, you know, for people who don't really have any background in personal development, you know, I recommend this book all the time. It's a classic, but I would just go and get Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within, and it will teach you how to ask good questions. And
that's the thing, because it's also about determining, there's so many people out there offering so much stuff, and there's also a lot of not great people out there offering stuff. It's like, how do you determine who's real and who's really offering something that's going to be of benefit to you, and being able to read between the lines and not get caught up in handing over $10,000 to somebody that you're going to go at the end, well, what was that $10,000 for? What did I get out of it?
Totally. And I think, you know, the modern age we're in, you know, I'm, as you know, very, I love social media and I love creating content. And a lot of the people that I follow or that I've worked with as coaches and mentors or whatever, a lot of them have either written books or make really good content. And I think there is, the marketplace is very crowded, but also the good people stand out if you take your time, because when you, if you read their articles or you listen to them on talks, or you, you know, you can sort of feel into, okay, this guy has a really great take on things, and sort of get to know them a little bit. We don't need to jump into doing the $10,000 course straight away. You know, it's like, there's a lot of, it's like date, you can have dates before you marry someone, you know, like you don't have to just go all in there and just get a little taste of this person's stuff, a little taste of it. There's people that I, you know, went and did their high-end course 8 years after I'd been stalking them and like read one of their books and, you know, implement a little bit of that, and then listen to them on a show and implement a little bit of that. You know, having said that, you guys can all come and do my $10,000 courses straight away. No need to wait. Go for it. But no, in all seriousness, get to know people and feel into what it is they're offering, and compare it to other things. But seriously, like a book like Awaken the Giant Within, something like that, it condenses a lot of coaching and NLP into one easily accessible format, and it will teach you how to ask better questions and look at your book and go, oh, I think I've got limiting beliefs, right? And then you can go, okay, this person works with that. This person doesn't really do that. And it's kind of what knowing what tools for the job is really helpful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Awesome. So just before we close, because we've got about 3 minutes to go, I just want to very briefly just let people know who I'm interviewing next time, and then we'll just have a quick wrap up with you, if that's okay. So. On the 25th of April, I'm pretty excited to be interviewing Kimberly Campbell-Zeltner, who specialises in women's health with particular interest in the role of hormones and assisting women to conceive. So I think that's going to be a really potent episode. I've known Kimberly a long time. She's actually my sister-in-law and based in Sydney, and does amazing work, and works a lot with the Chinese meridian systems, but also has a lot of other tools that she brings in, and very successful at helping women conceive that have had problems in that area. So that's on the 25th of April, and we will have this interview that I'm doing today with Dane out, and hopefully within 3 to 4 days, so people can listen into it that have missed it, because I know a few people messaged me this morning and said that they weren't going to be able to listen to us live. So with 2 minutes to go, Dane, I want to say it's been awesome speaking to you, and it was everything that I was hoping it would be. And, you know, I stalked you for a little while. Don't often ask to be friends with people on Facebook that I haven't met. However, I was drawn to the stuff that you were talking about and writing about, and I just love the way you think. And
thank you.
You know, my wish is that there's more awakened men out there that are doing this sort of work, because it just helps the planet move and grow and expand. And so, you know, we didn't get to talk beforehand, but I just trusted my gut and knew that that would be okay. But us not having connected, and I knew that we would, that our conversation and discussion this morning would really flow really well. So with 1 minute left, is there one last thing you would like to say to everybody?
just come find me, you know, hit my website, danethomas.com. And if there are men out there that are interested in connecting more, I run an online men's circle on Facebook, and you can just search that under the, it's called the Integrated Men's Circle, or the address is groups/IM circle, but that's a really healthy environment where there's about 800 men in there just sharing different things about their lives and from all walks of life. So some really mainstream guys, a few kind of trippy hippies, a few business people, the whole mixture is in there, and that's really awesome. And you can also just add me on Facebook. Like I publicize a lot of my thoughts and ideas on there, and please get in touch if you're interested in this work, and if I can help you with anything.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jane. It's been awesome chatting with you today. And thank you, everybody that's listening in on the quiet and those that are going to listen in the future. I'm going to say goodbye to you now. Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you, Pauline.
want a man like Dane in my life. What would that take?
Seriously. Right. I don't have a nanny net now.
I really do. I'm very tired.
Thank you.